of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Second verse.
Sing, choirs of angels. Sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye bright hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Third verse.
Ye, Lord, we greet thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory. Appearing, oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Amen. You may all be seated.
Coming to this, excuse me, this week, the last week before the Christ candle is going to be lit, and this theme that we have today is peace. This Advent theme that we have is peace. I would like to point to you to a passage in the Old Testament. I hope you have your Bible with you. This is actually a very precious passage from the Old Testament. It's from Zephaniah. Probably you have to do a little bit of digging to find out where Zephaniah is. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 to 20. If you don't have your Bible, you can just pay attention and I'll read that to you. This is the message, the theme of peace. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout loud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day, they will say to Jerusalem, "Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows of the appointed feast I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with you, with all who oppress you. I will rescue the name and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord." I'm going to ask Susan to come forward to light the peace candle. Susan and Sharon can come along as well. May the Lord bless his words and those who listen to his word.
Well, good morning and welcome to Pacific Grace Assembly Church. We're so glad that you braved the snow to come and be with us today, this Christmas service that we have this week. Just have a few quick announcements here, and if you could quickly turn your bulletins with me in your bulletins, we'll just highlight a few key announcements. Under the church news section there, we want to pay attention to the appointment or the continuing position of the coordinating pastor. The deacon, as it says here, since the motion of the lead pastor position was not carried at the 2008 PGMBC AGM, the proposal interim lead pastor in position in 2009 will not take place. The deacon board has extended Reverend Xavier Law's coordinating pastor position for 3 more months. And this will give the deacon board and the pastoral search committee more time to plan and discuss the strategic leadership model for the church. So please do continue to pray with us as we move forward and in discerning what God's will in terms of our church leadership will be. Also, we want to talk here about the offering cutoff day. It says 2008, January 1st to 11th, offering reports ready on the foyer. Please note that the offering cutoff date this year will be on December 28th, and tax receipts will be prepared in February 09. Offerings received later than December 28th will be counted as for 2009. Also, we have this coming Tuesday night. We have the Christmas candlelight service that we're planning to have here at 7:30, and Pastor Lawrence and Pastor Reverend Law will be leading that evening service. Do pray that the weather will lift, and for just a couple of hours we'll be able to have this evening service. We've invited members from the community to come and join us, and we hope it'll be a good evening to celebrate God's love, joy, peace, and hope. Also, we want to make a big thank you to all our volunteers who have served in various volunteer positions and ministry positions this year. I want to appreciate the following people. We want to thank Lorraine Chan, Susan Kwan, Phoebe Chung, Javier Sam, Eunice Chung, Emil Wu, Raymond Leung, Ivy Fang, Jason Chu, Ida Chang, Kevin Wong, Agnes Wong, Grace Lee, Lisa and Paul Shum, Leon Chan, Oliver Chan, Lily Han, Gina Wong. And we also want to remember our Pastor Lawrence and our intern Raymond, as they will be completing their service with us this December. So we want to appreciate them. And if you're here today, we do have gifts for you, so please do see us after the service, and I would like to have a little gift of appreciation. At this point, we're going to invite the kids to go to Kids Church, so if you're ready to go, have fun at Kids Church. At this time, we're going to invite Raymond Leung to come forward, and he will share the Lord's message with us this morning.
That's loading up. Give you a brief what you are hearing. This is a session
thank you. people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child has been born, a son given to us, authority, or as the song, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace. For the throne of David and his kingdom he will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord. So, as we enter our last week of Advent, as we prepare for the Christmas season, the Christmas time in the church calendar, the 12 days of Christmas, as it were. But, so we have before us in this past month the themes of love, joy, hope, and peace. These are what we are to be feeling in the season of Advent. Advent is a season of preparation. It means before the coming. Before the coming of what? Well, it points to Christmas. Before the coming of Jesus, we have love, joy, hope, and peace. That is the point of this entire season. These past 4 or 5 weeks have been about us feeling this anticipation, feeling the love that is to come, the joy that is coming as we prepare, the hope, which is what Christmas signifies, and the peace, peace as we enter into it, peace as what it is to be. So, we think to ourselves, well, peace. Are we at peace now? Are we peaceful? I mean, we're here, and, you know, we're pretty peaceful. You guys are sitting there, pretty peaceful, pretty quiet, pretty subdued. Outside, is that peaceful? Well, it's nice. It's pretty. Is it peaceful? The times we live in, I actually can say pretty good certainty that these are not really peaceful times. I mean, we've got collapse of big banks, economic downturn. I mean, who could have foreseen this? People are being laid off. Some of my friends at home, their parents actually have no jobs now for the first time in many years. And so there's some concern amongst them and their family. They're like, you know, what are we going to do? This is really surprising. And that is not peaceful. And we're not in a peaceful world. Riots in Nigeria over an election. 400 people dead, buildings destroyed. The terrorist attacks in Mumbai or Bombay. 170 people dead. It's not peaceful. But, you know, that doesn't mean there can't be peace, right? I mean, we're not at war here. People aren't blowing stuff up here. We live in a pretty peaceful society. I mean, you guys are doing okay. You guys have school. You guys are on break. You guys are in school. We still have jobs. You know, we're getting by decently. You know, that's peaceful, right? So, it's not like peace is impossible. So we see that there is peace. Let's move on to the next part. Isaiah, what does he mean by peace when he says, this child will be the Prince of Peace. There shall be endless peace on his authority as he sits on his throne. So he's a king. This child that is born is to be a king. And he's to sit on a throne which is marked by peace. Well, in Isaiah's time, the world was anything but peaceful. They've got kings, so Israel has his king. You know, they got King David, after that you got Solomon, and a succession of kings after that. I'm not even going to try reading up the names of the kings. That they're pretty long names. Like, one's Uzziah, but that was like the easiest one. And then there's like Sennacherib, and it's not making a difference to you guys how I pronounce the names. But we'll just establish that they're kings. Isaiah lives in a kingdom, and it's not a peaceful kingdom. So at this time, Israel is there, and they're kind of in the middle of Egypt and what is now Iraq, and like Greece and coming down from the north. I should have gotten a map, but whatever. You guys can picture it. Israel is kind of like this little chunk of land along the coast, and they're right in the middle of things. When Egypt wants to go to war with Babylon, they're going to go through Israel. When Babylon or Assyria, they want to go hit Egypt, they're going to go through Israel. And Israel's this little country compared to these mighty empires. So it's really not peaceful as armies are crossing through their territory. They're like, hey, don't we have a say in this? And the other empire's like, no, you don't. You can be join us. Be on our side. So both sides, both empires, the Egyptian Empire and the Assyrian Empire, telling Israel, join us. We'll protect you. Egypt's like, no, join us. We'll be better than Assyria. And all of this, as Israel is trying to live faithfully to God, who says, trust me, and I will protect you. But God has no armies. God has no land. So Israel, always in this cycle of joining one side or another. So it's not peaceful. Not peaceful at all. And Isaiah is talking about this child who will bring peace. And it's really, I think it's hard to believe. I would find it hard to believe living in his time. The past, like, X amount of centuries, my parents and my grandparents have been telling me, oh, we've been at war. We need to side with these guys. We need to side with the more powerful guy. Then we'll have peace. But we don't see that. And for Isaiah to say, there will be a king who is coming, and his reign will be marked by peace. It's kind of hard to believe. For us, it's maybe not so hard to believe that there will be peace. But at the same time, it is kind of hard to believe, right? Every day we look at the newspaper, and it's pretty rough. I mean, the accidents caused by the snow, delays, people just being backed up. It's not really a peaceful world. That's what it seems at times. But in Isaiah 32, how do we obtain this peace? And he speaks of it. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. So Isaiah is talking about righteousness and peace, like they're somehow connected, Righteousness, obedience to God, loyalty to God, peace. Really? Seems like they're kind of unrelated things. But he's really firm on that. And when we look at Isaiah, it's really interesting because here we have this great promise, right? This Prince of Peace is coming. He's a wonderful counselor. He's the representative of a mighty God. But yet the rest of Isaiah doesn't look like that. The rest of Isaiah looks like this. God is saying through Isaiah to Israel, well, I'm judging you. These empires crossing through your lands, this is judgment. You have forsaken me. You have neglected my words. You have forgotten my promises. This is what comes. And this is what is to come through Isaiah. So he speaks of what is to come, of a judgment on Israel. But he brings hope. Because God says through Isaiah at the same time, things will not always be like this. Things will get better. He speaks of this hope right here in our passage. with this coming peace, with this coming king, things won't always be like this. We will have peace. As the British Prime Minister famously said, there will be peace in our time. I'm not sure if you guys studied that. So this is Neville Chamberlain. No, Chamberlain said that. He visited Nazi Germany, and he had a really good talk with Hitler. You know, and Hitler promised not to invade any more countries. And then Chamberlain comes back to England, and he's really confident. He's really pleased. He's like, that Hitler fellow seems like a really civilized chap. There will be peace in our time. Those were his words. And as we saw, that was not the case. But can Israel believe these words? Can we believe these words? There will be peace. Maybe not in our time, but can we believe that there will be peace? But it's not just about peace, you know, our sense of peace, our sense of security. It's about my peace, as God is saying, my peace, not generic peace, as you know. Not peace as in, you know, nice, quiet lives, nice, you know, lives without risk. God's peace. What does that look like? Well, that looks like what Isaiah said in chapter 32, verse 17. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. My peace, righteousness. God's peace, righteousness. These things are linked again. Then what does God's peace look like? And how is that different from our peace? Well, you know, when I'm peaceful, I'm just, you know, I'm just sitting at home doing my own thing, you know, surfing the web or just kind of napping in the middle of the day. That's peaceful. That's a peaceful day to me, you know. Getting up at lunchtime and going to have brunch, lazy day, nice warm day outside. That's peaceful, right? Lazy summer day. I mean, yeah, sure, God's peace can look like that too. He's not against having relaxing days. But he's about obedience. He's about righteousness, right? The fruit of righteousness will be peace. And I have a hard time thinking that obedience to God and righteousness leads to, like, well, a sense of boredom sometimes. Well, you know, when you have summer that stretches on for so long and you don't do anything. It's nice for the first few days to be sitting at home doing nothing. But after a while, it kind of gets boring. And God is not promising that with his peace. It is not a peace of boredom. His peace is a peace born from obedience. Right? When we choose to give God our lives, in surrendering that to him and in obeying him, in obeying what it means to be righteous, that peace will come. But it's weird because in the Bible, people who obey God don't generally get peace, do they? Prophets, what do they get? They get death. Prophets get oppression. They get ignored. No one listens to them. Jesus and his apostles come. They're obedient to God. They're going to get peace, right? Wrong. Jesus, in the sense of, does he have a peaceful, you know, 9-to-5 day? No, he's walking everywhere. His hometown kicks him out. You know, he tries to go home. He tries to do some miracles there. They don't want him. They're like, get out of here. You can't do anything. Aren't you the son of that carpenter? Aren't you from Nazareth, that, you know, nowhere town? How can you do anything? How can you amount to anything? You're from nowhere. And he gets crucified. He gets crucified on the Roman punishment that they reserve for people who have no one to speak for them. They have no rights. That's why they get crucified. They're not citizens. We don't have to respect their rights. They'll just, you know, suffocate up there. This is what Jesus gets for obedience. Peaceful? The apostles, they're like, okay, so Jesus is dead. Now what? You know, they get called together by the resurrected, risen Lord, does he give them that peace? Does he give them the peace that the Pharisees and the Sadducees seek? Not at all. The Sadducees, they want things to be okay. They're the priests of the temple, they get along well, people come, they make their sacrifices, they get a portion of the profits. Things are okay. Pharisees, they teach, they get high respect. Things are okay. Apostles of Jesus, they get to see the resurrected Jesus, and what do they get? Persecution. James is killed. They get kicked out of Jerusalem because the Pharisees and the Sadducees want them dead. And they all die, not of old age, but of persecution. Not really peaceful in the way we think of it, is it? But it is peaceful in the sense that they are doing what God is calling them to do. And they are peaceful because they've got God's peace. I'm going to jump ahead of myself here, but God's peace is with them. Okay, I'll move on. My peace with you. God's peace, that peace of from righteousness, that peace of knowing that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, what you're called to be doing, and letting nothing shake that from you. It's funny. One of my pastor friends at Church of the Good Shepherd, it's an Anglican church, and he is disagreeing. A bunch of pastors have disagreed with a church that has allowed homosexual marriages to be blessed, homosexual priests or pastors to be ordained as serving pastors who are not repentant, who think that a homosexual lifestyle is okay. So he goes and he turns in his, they have to have a license to teach in a region. So he turns it in, and a bunch of pastors and preachers and teachers, they all turn it in to the Archbishop of this area, of Vancouver, actually, or New Westminster is the diocese, which is called. So they turn it in, and he says to them, you guys are abandoning your call. You guys are abandoning your post as preachers. He's like, you guys are quitting. You guys are quitters. And their response was like, no. We are turning in our license to teach. We can't teach anymore under your authority. But you do not have the right to say, I'm no longer called by God. Because that doesn't come from you. That comes from God. And so when these Pharisees said to Peter and John, hey, we'll let you guys go, but just don't teach about Jesus anymore, they could only say what they knew to be true. Hey, you know, we can't obey you because we have this call from God. God told us we need to preach his word. We need to speak about Jesus. We can't fear you for that. And so that is God saying, my peace with you. And in essence, that is who Emmanuel is, God with us. The peace of God with us. If God represents peace, if God represents love, joy, hope, all these things that Advent is about, if God represents those things, and Emmanuel is God with us, then all those things are with us. But again, not in the way that our culture likes to portray it. Love. That's a good one. Our culture loves to portray love as just something you just fall into and just happens. Doesn't take, you're powerless. God's love is not this thing that just falls upon you. It's powerful. It is powerful. It is the most powerful thing that he speaks about, the most powerful emotion. But it's not this emotion that just comes out of you. It's an emotion that's filled with thought. That's filled with care. What does our world think of joy? What does our world think of joy? You know, this happiness that's just bubbly, that just, you know, is just outgoing all the time. Is that real joy? You know, what of that inner joy that people have? You know, knowing that what they've done is right. Knowing that they are doing what God is calling them to do. Hope. What does our world think of hope? You know, we think of things like getting a better job, getting a better house. These are good things. God is bigger than that. How about a new way of living? How about a new world, a new creation, a re-creation? You know, renewed. How about things being, and it's not, the revelation of Christ is not like, hey, let's go back to the Garden of Eden, like things look like that. No, it's not quite like that. It is better. It is a renewal. It is a betterment. It is a new heaven and a new earth. This is the hope of God. Hope of the world? Oh, you know, I'll get a nice car. It's kind of weak. Kind of weak in comparison to God's hope. And peace of the world, where we settle for just being okay when God wants that inner contentment. Today is the winter solstice. Actually, it's the darkest day of the year. The night lasts the longest tonight, or today, this morning. It is the longest. And I'm awfully tempted to quote from a great source, the movie Batman, The Dark Knight, where Harvey Dent is talking about the night and how the night has fallen and it's dark. It's a cold night. But it must give way to the sun. The day will come. And that's Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness, not just darkness, who lived in a land of deep darkness, Israel, who has known only war and destruction for like the last few centuries. Entire generations have lived and died, not under Israel, but under the power of Assyria, under the power of Egypt. They're not their own people. They're slaves. They're a slave nation to a greater power. And they're hearing this. They're living in darkness. And they have seen a great light. On them, light has shined. On them, light has shined. The yoke of their burden, the rod of their oppressor, it will be broken. That's the funny thing, right? Wait long enough and you will have peace. God is telling them, trust in me. Hold on to that trust in me long enough and there will be peace. Not peace as you may figure it. My peace. Not peace as you will make it for yourselves, but my peace that comes to you. In the Gospel of John, Jesus' last prayer talks about that. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you peace as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, before his crucifixion, before the darkest hour for the apostles, before the darkest hour for the world, as Satan takes that victory. And now I've told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much to you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know I love the Father. This is the peace that Jesus gives to us. And then he goes into talking about himself. This is the peace that Jesus gives to us. Let's pray. Father, you